So the story I want to tell is actually about my father, Paul Prinz, who was born and raised just down the road here at 1684 London Line. And he was born into a Christian household, much like myself. Actually, the similarities between the starting of his story and my story are very, very similar. He was brought out to many different meetings, just like this one here. In fact, the overarching priority in their family was God and the Bible. So God was, they were always praying and they were always reading their Bibles. And in fact, they went to church three times on Sunday and multiple times during the week. And actually, if there was more special meetings going on in and around the area, they would be at every one of those. And now you might know that we have gospel meetings, and we do, what, 2, 3 weeks? Well, they would have 8 weeks of meetings, and that's Monday through Friday and Sunday. So that's 8 weeks, and they would be at every one. But just because he's born into a Christian family does not make him right for heaven, does not make him a Christian. He's still a sinner. He was born a sinner. And to that effect, as growing up, he wanted to make his own way, as many of us do, right? You want to make your own way. You think you can do it all on your own. So this went on, and his life really started to spiral out of control after his 18th birthday. He began partying and drinking and smoking drugs, dealing drugs. And at this moment, his life and his parents, they could not coexist together. So he had to move out. He moved into a house down close to the downtown core area, where his journey into alcoholism and drugs continued and evidently would stay. A few months go on, and he actually moved out into the family's cottage that was in Grand Bend. And the cycle that started there was he would get up for work, start drinking, work, continue drinking, work, end work, party, party all night, sleep, repeat, and on and on and on, and it would go. And that went on for a year or so. And evidently, I mean, if you're living that kind of life, what do we think is going to happen? If you're constantly drinking, constantly partying, drugs have that effect. And the inevitable happened is that he broke his leg. He was being picked up by the police because trafficking drugs. And at this point in his life, he would say it was rock bottom. Rock bottom. He would go on to later say that his life was at an all-time low because of choices he had made. Again, he wanted to go his own way. Things were going from bad to worse. But nevertheless, even in that state, God wanted to speak to my dad. And so his parents, my grandparents, invited him out to gospel meetings, much like this one. And it was in January of 1981. There were meetings going on. And you know what? Actually, my dad and Uncle John here would be attending those meetings, much to just the to please their parents, right? Their parents invited them, so why not go out and show some support for them? They did raise them, however. So that's what he did. But in those meetings, God began to speak to him. Uncle John would roll his truck, and then a few days later would be spoken to by the shortness and the fragility of life. And he would end up getting saved on January 5th, 1981. And what that did for my dad was it highlighted the fact that he was a sinner. He knew that, but it highlighted it. It put it at the forefront. And that, he sensed that because of that, God was speaking to him. And if he didn't listen this time, that might be the last time that God would try to speak to him. And if you're here in the meeting tonight, that's what I want to tell you, is that if you're here listening to what the Bible is being said, what we're trying to proclaim, we're trying to tell you about Jesus, God is speaking to you. And it could be the last time he reaches out. So pay attention and listen, because it could change your life. So, this is highlighted as the best day of his life. He made it so paramount in his life, so focused, he actually stayed home from work to get this matter figured out, the matter of his soul and where he would spend eternity. And that's important to point out, is that he said, no, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to focus on anything, I'm actually going to stay in my room, shut my door, and open his Bible. And what would happen is that the gospel verses that he had memorized years before, he would start going over them, right? And then he would turn right to John 3 here. He started reading. And what we read there, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. My dad realized at that moment that Jesus, he's the one speaking there, was talking to Nicodemus, an old teacher of the law. He was telling Nicodemus about how to be saved and that Jesus himself had to be lifted up on a cross and that he would have to suffer for the sins of the world. And Jesus was using a story that was 1,500 years old. 1,500 years before this moment in time, it was about the Israelites who had disobeyed God, were bitten by venomous serpents, venomous snakes, and the only way that they could be saved was Moses had fashioned a serpent, put it on a pole, the one you see all over the hospitals, and he fashioned it out of brass, hung it on a pole, and all he had told the people that were all bitten by snakes, he told them, all you have to do is look at that. Look at that serpent on the pole. And you will be healed, you'll be saved. And my dad realized that just like the serpent had to be lifted up on the pole, so did Jesus. And it was for his sin. The sins of the world. Whoever turns their eyes in faith towards the Son of God that was nailed to the tree for my sins and for your sins, then you would be saved. And on that day, on a cold January, I would assume it's a morning, January 22nd, 1981, my dad was saved. So now I want to tell you about my mom's story. Anyway, she was raised by a staunchly Greek father and a English mother. So the church and what it represented was paramount in their home. The church represented God, so we need to respect that. And that's what they did. They brought her up in that way. Although they were not regular attendees of the Greek Orthodox Church in Sarnia, they did drop off my mom every Sunday. So my grandfather would drop her off at the church, and she would go in. And at age 7, she was baptized into the Greek Orthodox Church. And she thought, this is great. This is awesome. I can do this. Baptized, and from there on, what she thought was, baptism is the springboard into heaven. All I have to do now is work at it. And for her, working at it was going to church, reading the Bible, praying, communion, teaching Sunday school, and fasting. And all these things she did. But God, you know what? God was still working with her. So when she was gone to high school, there was a girl in high school that would sit down at the lunch table, open her Bible, and would read it. Well, as many of you would probably know, that she was not the most popular kid in the school, so she had to sit alone. Well, my mom thought very highly of herself that she would go and sit next to her. She was happy to look at the Bible and read the Bible with her. And that was a source of pride for her. She said, I can come and sit beside this girl that reads her Bible all the time, and that's cool, and we're good, okay. But then the girl said, well, like, have you ever been born again? She said, what is that? And mom kind of brushed her off, like, whatever, this, that, don't talk about that. She must have been reached by the TV fanatics. So as time went on, she would actually get a job at a restaurant as a waitress down there at Confed, the old Sherwood restaurant. And lo and behold, A young, handsome man would begin to come there regularly. And that would be my dad, who would become my dad. And so he would come there in the mornings. She recognized him as a snowplower, fence and deck builder, whatever. And he would come there in the morning so regularly that she actually had his order memorized, and she had told the other girls that, hey, no, when he comes in, that's my table. Yeah. And I don't want to ask her, but I'm sure she would know exactly what the order was even today. So time went on, and springtime came on, and it was a little bit more regular. Every morning, he'd come in, get his food, read the paper, head off to work. And then finally, he said, okay, let's go for coffee. Well, he never did set a date on when to go for coffee. So Mom was just left hanging. So finally, Mom said, no, we're going to go for coffee, and we're going to do it tonight. So they went out for coffee, and Dad began to tell her of his previous escapades, his life before he got saved, his life into drugs and alcohol, and living his own, going his own way. And he would later admit to it that it was kind of a scare tactic to try and push Mom off, right? And he said, hey, if she doesn't move, she doesn't leave me after this story, these stories that I've been telling her, then she must be a keeper. And so she stuck around, but the one thing that really stood out to her is that it wasn't that he did all those crazy things and was a drug addict and an alcoholic. It was that his life had been changed. That's what stood out. She said, well, if he was still that man that was partying and drinking and doing drugs, then this would have ended a couple days ago. But he's not. He was a changed man, and he was changed because of Jesus. One night, now if you're dating in the meeting tonight, don't be going doing this. Okay, they were down in the truck underneath the bridge at night. And if you're going to do it, this is the way to do it. My dad opened the Bible up and began to tell my mom about how the Lord Jesus Christ had come into the world to save sinners. He had died on the cross for all of our sins. He died for my sins, and he died for your sins. And that specifically, my dad knew he was going to be in heaven with Jesus one day. Well, Mom went, well, yeah, of course Jesus died on the cross. I believe that. I know he did that. He died for all the sin. But how can you know that you're going to be in heaven? Like, nobody can know that, right? But then my dad would go on to just point out verses. But have everlasting life. I think there's one in the back there, but that the world through him might be saved. God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Those are all present tense, knowing you should. And he showed her all these verses. And Mom kind of fumbled around trying to figure out, oh, where I need these verses that fit my narrative, that I am baptized, I believe in God, but I just don't really know if I'm going to be in heaven. I have an idea, but I don't really know if I'm going to be in heaven. So she realized that, I'm not winning this argument. Let's just move on. You know what? I'm stuck on that. I'm baptized. I believe in God. And I'm kind of sure that I'm going to be in heaven. And my dad said to her, listen, if you're going to prove me wrong, you got to prove me wrong from the Bible. So that's what my mother set out to do. And she started doing a very dangerous thing. And that was, she opened up her Bible and began to read, just like my dad had done almost a year before this. She opened up her Bible, she began to read, trying to find these passages that supported her argument of believing, baptized, and maybe going to heaven. Well, as she began to read and read and read, what became more evident? The fact that my dad was right, the Bible was true, and that what it was pointing out was that my mom was a sinner and that she was on her way to hell. And that hurts her pride. The girl that was so prideful to sit beside the girl reading the Bible is now finding out that no, you're actually not good enough for heaven. And just because you believe in God doesn't mean you're going to be in heaven. Just because you're baptized doesn't mean you're going to be in heaven. And so the evidence that she found in the scripture was so apparent that she just had to sit there and say, she was lost. I'm lost. I can't do it on my own. And she would look up to, she would begin reading actually a story. And this is the way God works. So he works in mysterious ways. He would look up a story in Acts and would talk about a man named Simon, a man who was believing and was baptized. But there was one thing he tried to do. He tried to buy the power of God, salvation, same thing that Peter had. So he offered the apostles money. And he said, I want that power that you have. He believed in God. He was baptized. He was not saved. He was not going to heaven. And that struck her. She said, that's me. That's who I am. And in that moment, it sunk in. I was not right, or she was not right before God. And I needed to be saved. And just following that moment, here's what happens. As soon as you're in your darkest moment where you know that you're going to be lost forever, God reaches in and this moves her, right? And it says, and she writes, Jesus, this is the moment, this is the thought that came into her mind. Jesus died for me and took my sins away so I wouldn't have to go to hell. And my mom was saved October 12th, 1982. Two great stories, two different people, different backgrounds, same great Savior.